Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 19th, year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the third Sunday of Easter. Blessings to you all. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast today. And I pray that as we move through this season of Easter together, we will just pay close attention to the moments of resurrection and renewal in our lives and allow the stories of the season to have an impact in how we see the world, how we interact with one another, and how we can find great hope and peace and love and joy when we seek to believe in Jesus, to be like him. And so having said that, let's do what is our custom and our practice here at the podcast to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving. And we do that first by taking in a big, deep breath. So join me in taking in just a rich, deep breath. Take that in. Hold on to it, but don't just hold it. Savor it. It's a gift. Gift of life. Now let it go. And take in another. And as you take in that breath, call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy. That which is most important, most meaningful. Imagine the faces and the places. And as you do so, give thanks to God for all of it. Perhaps open your hands as wide as they'll go. Extend those fingers, palms toward the sky. And then maybe just put your arms out as far as they can go. Turn your face toward the sky, keeping in mind all of these good and perfect things. Thank God for all of it. In this state of mind and in this posture, let us begin together in worship.
Call to worship. On the road of uncertainty, when hope feels lost, Jesus draws near. Though our eyes may be slow to see, our hearts begin to awaken. In the breaking of bread, in the sharing of stories, Christ is revealed. Our hearts burn within us as he speaks truth and life. Even in our doubt and sorrow, the risen Christ walks beside us. We turn now to recognize him in our midst. Come, let us worship the one who meets us on the journey. With open hearts, we welcome the risen Lord. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this moment, for the opportunity to gather around this, your good and living word, a word that renews our minds, refreshes our spirits. And as we pray, we ask a favor of you, O God. We need some help. We pray that you will bless us with a spirit of stillness, that you'd save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you're saying to us in this, your good and living word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, on this third Sunday of Easter, we are richly blessed with this reading from the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And if you haven't done so yet this season, I would make a commitment to reading all of chapter 24. It's a vital and foundational text of our faith. But the lectionary begins at 13 and goes through verse 35. It's a story that might be familiar to a lot of you, the story of the road to Emmaus, the story that takes place on the afternoon of Easter, the first day of the week, after the brutal events of Good Friday, the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, and all of the heartbreak and grief and disorientation that would have come with that, a deep grief among all of those that had so deeply hoped that this preacher, teacher, miracle-working rabbi was truly the Messiah. So many hopes and expectations about how he would come and what he would finally do. And it all, they thought, ended on a cross. And things are intense in Jerusalem, because now there is word out that he's not dead, he's alive. At least they know that the tomb is empty. They have the story of some women that have come back, and they have said that the tomb is empty, and others went to verify what they had said. And now they're just more confused, and things are pretty tense in Jerusalem. So it seems to these two that maybe it's best if we just go home. And they live in a place about 7 miles out of town called Emmaus. And so with heavy hearts and a lot of confusion, they're walking along the road, not sure what to believe or what has happened. And so maybe the safe sanctuary of home is the best place to be. And as they walk along and they talk about these things, they are encountered by a stranger to them. Luke tells us the stranger is Jesus, but they don't recognize him. But he walks alongside and joins in their conversation, and they invite him in, and he's curious, what is it you're talking about? What do you mean? We're talking about what everyone's talking about. We're talking about Jesus. You know, Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And they go on to tell the story. This is verse 20. And how the chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And they go on to tell the story of the women that had come back from the tomb and how the others had verified what they'd seen. And this stranger is taking all of this in. Excuse me. I imagine he pauses for a moment after hearing their telling of the story. And he says something that almost feels rude when you read it. But I want to interpret it as him being conciliatory. Hold on. As Luke tells it, the stranger says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared." He gets their attention. "What are you up to? What do you mean we're foolish and slow of heart? We loved him. We grieve for him. Now, what is it you have to say?" And he's got their attention. And then he poses the question, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Okay, tell me more. And, well, he does. And he starts at the beginning of the salvation history of their people. He starts with Moses. Consider Moses. You know the law. You consider all of the story. We just celebrated the Passover. You know the story. And then moment by moment, story by story, prophet by prophet, he connects the dots from their origin, moment by moment, up to this present moment as they walk the road. He helps them hear the depth and the meaning and the life in the story. They've known the narrative. They've known the plot line of the story since they were little kids. But they failed to grasp the real life, here and now implications of all of it. And that it was coming to its fulfillment in their presence. And the more he spoke, the more they understood. And they're hanging on every word, and the miles fly by, and eventually they get to Emmaus. And now the sun is starting to set. They're ready to go home, but they are not finished with this conversation. It looks like this stranger wants to carry on and go down the road. But good hospitality and the need to continue this conversation, they compel him to come in and have something to eat and stay with them. So imagine they come into the door, they find something to eat, which includes a loaf of bread. They put it on the table, and the stranger takes the bread. He takes the bread. And he blessed it, And he broke it and he gave it to them. And in the breaking of the bread, revelation, clarity, insight, purity of thought, they recognized him. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And as soon as they come to that realization, he vanishes. Gone from their sight, but not gone from their hearts and their minds. They're changed. The fear and the trepidation, that which caused them to leave Jerusalem, they become like Jesus. They set their face toward Jerusalem. That's a key theme throughout Luke. Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. This is the epicenter of the story. And so they've got to go tell the 11, the others. And so they make their way, probably the fastest 7 miles they ever ran in their lives. And so they came, and they got to the place where the others were, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And the 11 had a similar experience. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." This gave them opportunity to tell their story. And they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is a crucial part of the Easter story. You know, one of the great joys we experience at church twice a year, at Christmas and in Easter, our sanctuary is overflowing with people coming to participate in Christmas worship and Easter. And we like to kind of joke about how we're still open between Christmas and Easter, but more importantly, it's that to only focus on those two parts of the story is to miss out on the implications that the stories have deeply for our daily lived experience. If one just has a very pleasant and heartrending experience of the resurrection on an Easter Sunday and simply goes home, has a pleasant brunch and a nap, and then wakes up the following day just to go about their business, they've missed the experience of these two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Now, the experience of the Easter Sunday worshiper isn't of going home with a grieving heart, but it's going home having not received fully the gift of the empty tomb, of the appearance to the disciples. We, like them, have certain expectations, certain understandings of things that happen in our lives, our family stories, things that we believe, and then we come to a moment where everything seems lost. And it's often in that moment that someone comes alongside us, a pastor, a counselor, a dear friend, someone with some wisdom and experience that can help us understand that story from a different perspective, to start at some moment of origin, whether that's biblically a Moses story or something that is of our own foundational story, and to connect the dots for us space by space to help us more clearly understand the moment that we're experiencing. And with that clarity of thought and with the companionship of someone who can lead us into a place of greater hope, a reminder that joy is still possible, it's vital and in the life of faith to come alongside these disciples who thought that all hope was lost, that everything had fallen into chaos and confusion. But then the one, the teacher, comes alongside, reminds them who they are, who they were called to be. He reinterprets the story for them, clarifies their understanding of what's really happening in the biblical story and what's really happening in their daily lives, their lived experience. And it happens in a moment. It happens for them in the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. It's our moment in worship where we place ourselves among the others and we hear Jesus' word and his promise, his full revelation of who he is and why he's come, to fully bear the weight of human frailty and sin, even unto death, so that death would be defeated and a new life, an eternal kind of life, citizenship in the kingdom of the heavens, was open and available. And the only cost of entrance was to open your hands and turn out your pockets and humbly ask for the bread and the cup, the body and the blood, and to be in communion with other believers so that we might help each other along the way, to help us understand our sacred stories and the implications for our daily living. It's all here. The depth and the richness and the power of resurrection hope. And so sometimes daily living can feel a lot like that Emmaus road. We're walking along and we're talking to ourselves or people with the same level of insight that we have. And we need to invite the wise stranger, the new companion into our midst. The one that might seem familiar to us, but we can't quite place him. And then he speaks our names. Then he offers us the healing touch. Then he offers us a peace that passes understanding, a fellowship, a breaking of bread, a promise of eternal grace. And in this gospel, we find tremendous healing, hope-filled good news, to which we can say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here, we call out to you, and we pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Moses and the prophets, God of disciples along the road, we invite you in. We lean in and listen to what it is you have to teach us. And we seek clarity, O God, on who we are and who you've called us to be. And we confess that many times we seek to go our own way. We seek our own road home to a place that feels comfortable and away from the stress and the anxiety. And you know our impulses and our actions, our sins. And we confess that to you. We come to you in all humility with broken spirits and contrite hearts. And we ask to receive the forgiveness that you promise us. And being assured of this forgiveness, O God, we thank you for all that is good and right and true and pure and worthy and lovely. And God, we pray over this, your good world. And we pray that you would reset and renew and revitalize and resurrect all that is dead. That the whole of the earth would come to new life in Jesus Christ. We pray for people in positions of power and influence, those who walk the corridors of the financial districts and capital buildings, parliaments, the people who have their hands on the levers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer that you would raise up among them good and godly men and women. And we pray for the people all around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors, the folks in traffic with us, the ones in line in front of us at the grocery store, people, your children. Help us to see one another through your eyes. And God, you know the joys and the concerns of our hearts. Some of us write those down. We make prayer lists. Some of us just rehearse those time and again in our minds. But you know this list. And quite often words fail. And so we take a moment to share these lists with you. This list of joy and concern. And we hand it to you, and we trust you with it. And we believe that you'll consider every single word on that list. And so as we do this, God, we will just join together in a moment of silence. We pause so that you could consider our prayers and we could listen for your answers. We break our silence. And we thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we pray that you'd hear us as we celebrate a prayer that you taught your first disciples. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that the fire of resurrection hope is burning in our hearts, that we will pay attention for the times we need a stranger to come alongside us, to open up our story to us, that we can pay attention to the times when we need to come alongside somebody else and offer that same hope-filled counsel, inspired by our God, the God who is with us, the God who is for us, the God who is pulling us toward himself, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.